Just before we look to the Word of God together this morning, I would like to just call a few people up to the front with me. We're going to recognize a letter that my dad, Chester Donaldson, sent to the leadership team not very long ago, indicating that because of his age and his abilities, he's stepping aside from his leadership duties as they've been. And we would like to present to him a letter from the leadership team, and I'm sure it will represent all of our thoughts together in commending the work that they have done here and we have benefited from, and we will continue to commit ourselves to as our years go by as well. So I'm going to ask Mom and Dad if they would come forward. I'm going to ask Rod and Linda if they would come forward, and also our brother Ted, I see Peggy's not here, if he would come forward as well. I was looking around for the youngest person in the audience here. Without judgment or estimating, I think there's a young man right in the back corner who I am guessing. I'm going to ask him to come forward as the youngest guy. And we're not going to pick on you. We're just going to use you as a representative of the youthfulness and stand with us as we consider these things together. Oh, where's my wife, Peggy? Ooh.
Boy.
There's a New Year's resolution for you. First thing is, I'm going to ask Rod if he would read the letter that our leadership team is wanting to present to him.
This is a letter to Chester. It is with regrets but understanding that the leadership of Bible Fellowship Assembly accepts your resignation from the leadership committee. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. From 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 4. Over the years, those on the leadership committee have had an elder who is willing to serve, one who freely gave of himself, always eager to see those around him grow deeper in their understanding and love for Jesus Christ. Chester, you have been a valuable example of what it means to serve and not be served. When our chief shepherd appears, confident that he will say to you, "Well done, my servant." We are grateful that you're willing and able to continue on in your role as shepherd on a one-on-one basis, and trust God will continue to use you in this ministry. From the Leadership Committee of Bible Fellowship Assembly.
We thought today would be a very suiting day to have these things said, a new year, a new era ahead. We are all resolving to continue with faithfulness in the things that we've been given. One further reading from 2 Timothy. Dad has always been one to quietly shepherd and lead us and have us committed to the Word of God and to Him, of course. I think these may be his words. I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. So today is a day of celebration, excuse me, but also a day of entrusting to us these things that he has left to us. Brother Ted.
Who knows what other challenges lay ahead? I know, although your physical stamina and other issues require that you step aside from the leadership committee, yet I know that you'll continue, both of you, as active as the Lord allows you to be, and in ministry of various sorts and one-on-one, and goodness knows what other, like I said, what other challenges lay ahead. That's for him to determine and not for us, but we really want to thank you for your example, for your leadership, for your ministry in all its multitude of forms over the years. And to that end, let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for Chester and for Marion. We thank you, Lord, for their faithful witness among us, for the way that you have worked in them and through them. And Father, as we think about this, we're just awed that you would include us, any of us, all of us, in what you are doing. And I thank you especially, Lord, for my sister and for my brother here, and for the way you have strengthened them, guided them, provided for them, led them, strengthened them, given them the gifts and the skills and to be able to minister. And Lord, we ask that you continue to work in them and through them, in the whatever days you have provided for any of us. And Father, as we turn the page in this day and recognize that some of the more public aspects of Chester's ministry are now effectively in the past, Lord, that as he passes the torch to us, help us also to be faithful to you, to seek your wisdom in all things as he has set example. Lord, that we might be able to carry forward the various ministries that have been started under the leadership of this precious couple, that as you guide, as you lead, as you provide the skills, the gifts, the resources, Lord, that these ministries may flourish. And Lord, we cannot even guess what other ministries may come as they continue to lead by example. And we thank you, Father, for all these things. Thank you for the rich blessing that has been poured into our lives because of Marion and Chester. And we thank you for all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Whew. Now we need to turn to the matters before us. Looking out in 2012 in more detail, we want to look a little bit in the way of a workshop together to help us keep awake on making our resolutions. Whether you believe in resolutions or not, you will by the end of this talk, I'm sure. The word resolution is something that's of interest to us at this time of year. Looking at the word resolve might help us to understand the word a little bit. As Dave mentioned earlier, it's like solving again, literally. But in more practical terms, we use the word to set a new direction, to set a direction, a plan, a set of actions around a particular purpose, and also to move in that direction with commitment, earnest desire that we see the results of what we've set out to do. When you look at people's resolutions, many of them begin with the words, "I will not." Some resolutions begin with, "I will." Other resolutions sometimes are a covenant between people, and we say, "We will," or "We will not," as in a married couple or as in a group of people on a team of some kind. We will or we will not. More often than we might even know about, there are people who make resolutions about us, like, "You will," and "You will not." They may not be as articulated openly in a list for the Christmas or the New Year's Eve celebration time, but you find out about them sooner or later, the ones that your spouse makes for you, or you make for your children, or resolutions of that type. I'd like us this morning to focus on spiritual resolutions. If we look at resolutions we make, they fall into different categories. And many of them, you might be not be surprised that they reflect the self-centeredness of what we are really like as people, reflected by our resolutions. This morning we want to focus on not those resolutions that are our personal improvement things about our weight and so on, those kind of examples, but to focus on spiritual resolutions that flow to us from the example that Christ left for us. God made resolutions, and the Lord, His Son, when He came, made resolutions. He didn't make them at a particular time of year, but He continued through the fabric of His life to express His purposes and His resolve to see those purposes completed. And we can use those this morning as a very short sample of things that He resolved to do that we might look at in framing our response to His resolve in the way we make resolutions. First, though, I just want to set a bit of context to the resolution forming. We started the communion service this morning with the recognition that one of the first wills of God that we are aware of is that He said, "We will create. We will create the universe." And I've just grabbed some slides here about showing the awesome magnitude of what we have. Pay little attention to time frames and so on, but they are probably big. Lots of people I know spend a lot of time debating about the nature of these time frames and not enough time talking about the purpose that is of God in the things that He has made. But we are all overwhelmed as we gaze into the galaxies and look up on the internet Hubble telescope views of the universe, and we say our God is an awesome God. He made such a universe for the express purpose that we would know Him personally and know that He is the sovereign God. He upholds the word of the creation by the word of His power. We can spend a lot of time figuring out how these things came to be, and as we look into those things, we marvel more and more about His hand in these things. But our God is an awesome God, and He spoke the universe into being. One of the other aspects, as we go from this big picture of how the universe came to be, and I skipped the other chart for the sake of time, but this chart is a biblical view of from eternity to eternity. And some of the beginning parts of the slide on the left-hand side talk about those majestic themes of how the world came to be. But when you look at the world that He made here on earth and these people, for a particular purpose. We just stand in, again, in tremendous awe that in this very small sliver of the purposes of God is the time in which we live today. And the purpose He has for us is just overwhelming as we look at this tremendous God wanting to invade, come in to live with us in our lives and do works in our lives for particular purposes. And the context of what we resolve to do ought to be seen in the context of these things that God is doing in the universe according to His plans and purposes. And He is sovereign. He has not only the commitment to do things, but He has the absolute power, the omnipotence to make these things happen. Some of the examples of these that have touched me personally have been the events of 2011. When we think of the huge events in the world that have been taking place around natural disasters, we just marvel at why does God allow these things? Why are they related? How do they affect me personally? And we see, as one example, this tremendous event in Japan, 140 million people on a small island, catapulted by a 9.1 earthquake, generating a tsunami and then generating nuclear disasters and all kinds of destruction of life and property. Why does God allow these things? We just bow before Him and say, we don't always understand Your purposes. But as we hear the stories coming forward, we start to stitch together why God allows these things in the lives of people. And we have to be careful to be extremely humble as we look at His purposes, but we must continue to look and understand what He is doing in the world. As some of you know, I do a fair bit of traveling on business, and I just missed this event by a short period of time. And it just brings it to you in a very personal way that says, God isn't finished with me yet on this earth. It could have been in that very region within a week or so of that event. Just before that, there was a huge event in Australia that was even closer to home for me. We were supposed to be in some strategic planning meetings and looked at this map of the northeast corner of Australia. And this storm started to come at us, and in that little round dot, you can see that the strength was a hurricane force four, force five. And I was sitting in the city of Townsville at the time with a group of people, and that's the magnitude of the storm that was coming right at me. And I started to think seriously about eternity and what's going to happen here, and we couldn't drive away. Fortunately, this storm turned a little bit to the north, missed Townsville, was able to get on. I was on the last seat on the last plane out. I'm very thankful for, again, that my time had not yet come. But in very personal ways, God speaks to us in the middle of these things in the world to turn our hearts to Him. We have the option, of course, of being embittered and turning away from Him when these things happen. When we don't understand His purposes at this moment, we can get embittered against Him and say, why me, God, why this, why that, and turn away from Him at these times. But alternately, we can look at them as ways that He is carrying out His purposes. We don't always understand them, but we just rejoice that He has brought us into a relationship with Him, and one day we will be able to ask Him all of these questions and understand. Another event, I remember the day that Rich Fennell called me, that there was I was out at a business meeting, and Rich called me, and we were talking about this event. He was sitting in an office. We got talking about this, and I was in shock. I was actually at the Timmins Airport, and he was talking about these planes that hit the Twin Towers, and we all know the story. But my point is this has triggered a whole set of events around, for biblical students, around a focus of the world once again on the land of Israel and that region. And we start to see again the not understanding the details, but understanding the big picture that God is going to deal with Israel in a particular way in the future age. And that all of these events are somehow leading up to that as we see these things taking place in what happened in 2011 as what's called the Arab Spring, where all of these turmoils and things are going on all around Israel. and we wonder about the outcome of how God is going to bring into place His ultimate plans and purposes around that. Back to home, this is just an image of a cemetery, and a reminder that all of us are mortal. We live in a very small space of time, extremely, extremely small iota of time. And all of us have been born, we live, and we are going to die. And in that time space from beginning to end in our lives, our role is to understand who God is, what He wants of us in our lifetime, and what story He is writing in our hearts and lives as we live it before Him. So that brings us to the example of our Lord in making resolutions. And as I was thinking about that, one of the words that kept coming to me, the words of His that kept coming to me, were the words, "I will." We're pretty accustomed to the words, "I won't." But what is tremendous about looking into the life of our Lord are the words, "I will." And I'd like just to look at some examples of that. And as we go through them, I'd like us in our workshop to write down the so what for us. What resolution would we make around each of these things that the Lord resolved to do? And what's our corollary resolution that we want to see in our lives as a result of His resolve? So you may want to, first of all, just pull out from your Bible your own resolutions for the year. Get your pen out, and then let's align what we've thought about for ourselves against this checklist that I hope is inspired of the Lord as we look at His resolve. The first "I will" I would like to look at, well, it's really the second one, and the first one was we will create. All of these verses are taken from, most of them are taken from the Gospel of John, save one. The first one is, "I will go, here am I, send me." Now, in this resolve of the Lord taken from Isaiah chapter 6 example, or Hebrews, or John 1 in the beginning, the Word came, all of that story is around Jesus, the Son of God, being willing to leave heaven and to come here with the express purpose of what He wanted to teach, what He wanted to do, and what He wanted to leave with us. What I'd like us just to notice, first of all, is His resolve to do that. "I will come to you." He made this human race. He made it with a purpose. We failed that purpose through our sins and shortcomings, and we continue to do that. But Jesus came with the mission to resolve those things for us. And He volunteered. We don't know the what if he didn't, what if He refused, and so on. But we're thankful that He resolved to come. Now, we in our lives need to have this same attitude, I would suggest, to fill out the blanks for us. For the first one, "Here am I, Lord. You have called me into your life. You've shown me a little bit about your purpose. What is my resolve?" And the first one I would suggest is the same as He said would be the things that we resolve. "Here am I, Lord, use me as you would see fit." It may not mean moving to another part of the world, may not mean anything like that. The main thing in it is that we commit our lives afresh to be available to Him as He would use us. "Here am I, use me as you see fit." The second one, and we need to recognize that, is not one that we can do, only He can do. His resolve was to save us. John chapter 6, Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that He has given me, but raise them up the last day." The next verse, "I will raise them up the last day. Everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. Even going to the cross, Jesus said, I'd really like to get out of this work, paraphrasing a little bit. I really don't want to go through the suffering of Calvary, but I will do the Father's will. He came to save us. So what's our response to that? Well, two general contexts. Context first is that, are we saved, is the first question. Have we accepted the Lord as our personal Savior into our lives, invited Him into a personal relationship with us as He has offered that gift to us? He's offered us eternal life for now and forever. Have we accepted that? And if the answer is yes, how do we respond to this in the formation of our resolutions? There's the blank. Please fill it out on the back of your bulletin. Nobody's writing. Everybody's thinking. Some suggestions. Thanksgiving each and every day for the relationship that He has called us into. Every day coming into Him personally for an appreciation of what He did for us in bringing us salvation. Of course, involved in that is forgiveness. Each day as we sin, He forgives us. It involves a commitment to holiness. It involves He has saved us unto Himself and unto the kind of living He would call Christians into, and we need to resolve to be and to live those kinds of lives. We remember that He, someone said earlier, I think it was Dave, He didn't come to be served. He was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but He didn't come into a castle with servants. He came as the servant. And there's the model that He exampled for us. He came to serve, not to be served. Are we of that attitude in our resolutions and our resolve each day to serve others as He served us in the giving of salvation? The next promise He gives in His resolutions that I'd like us to sample from is, I will be with you. He didn't just save us, give us this train ticket to heaven or this jet ticket to heaven. He came to dwell with us, live and dwell among us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And all of that is just so profound in our lives as we consider Him and live with Him each day. He didn't call us into religion. He called us into a personal relationship with Himself. That's what He wants. He wants our faith in Him. He wants our belief and our trust. He also wants to dwell with us each and every day. We've gone through nativity words about He will come as the Counselor, as the Mighty God, as the One who is to bring you peace in your lives and to bring you joy. We thought about all of these things. How do we live each day in light of that, that He is here dwelling with us, wants us to pray to Him, wants us to reflect on Him, wants us to worship Him, wants us to be in relationship with Him, wants us to look to Him for guidance and direction and strength in the middle of difficult times. He is there for us. I will be with you, He said. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus will always be there for us as our intermediator, as our wonderful Counselor, our powerful God, into this loving relationship as our Father, Son, and Spirit. So what is our I will? What is our resolution? It's not that we need to do things so much. It's more that we need to be in His presence, experience His wisdom, His loving care, His guidance, His direction, and we will know by His promise, I will be with you always. Similar point, but a little different focus is, I will remain in you, taken from John chapter 15. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. This is not about salvation. This is about fruit bearing. But what He is calling us to is an abundant life of bringing glory to Him in our lives, however He has called us. We're all differently gifted. We all have different roles and responsibilities in life. But the common theme should thread together our resolves around this point that we are to remain in him and he will remain in us. And if we do that, there is a condition here. If we do that, if we abide in him, if we remain in him, he will remain in us and bring fruit bearing to our lives. How do our resolutions stack up to that one? I'm not sure. I will remain in you. And for the sake of time, the last one is, I will return for you. John chapter 14. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. The message of the Lord is universal. No one can come to the Father but through me. There are all kinds of other claims in this world of ours that are claiming to be true, claiming to have the control and grip of our lives, but none have this kind of statement in them. The personal God of heaven came in the person of his Son and said, come to me, I will keep you for now and forever if you trust me. And more than that, I'm going to come back one day and take you to be with me where I am in heaven. Way beyond our understanding, very difficult to grasp. He used language of he's going to prepare a place for us in heaven. Don't know where that is exactly. Don't know what it's like exactly. We've got a lot of data about it. But what we can appreciate today and these days ahead is that we should be living in the light of his promise to return. Our whole Bible study effort over the last year, our cell group study, was how should we then live to prepare for his coming? And those are the resolutions we should have. Do we have the hope, first of all, that this brings to our lives? Not just, I hope someday I'll go to heaven, but God is preparing a mansion for us. Are we getting dressed for that occasion? Are we preparing and living our lives in such a way that we will be prepared to be there? Someone said, I have to tune up my piano skills, and we have to, because otherwise you'll be in the back corner somewhere. But, you know, we can joke about heaven in different ways. But really what he wants us to be is holy, to be prepared for his presence, to be fruit-bearing as he comes to us at any time. It could be in 2012, through our death or through his coming at the rapture, and we won't take time to go through those things, but we are to be forming resolutions that surround our lives spiritually to make sure that we are living as hopeful people, and in such a way that as we live that way, others will see, not us, but be attracted to the message of Christ himself. I am going to prepare a place for those who are mine, and I'm coming back for you to bring you to that place one day. So, how do our resolutions stack up to that? Yeah, I know we got the ones about diet and gymnasiums and in Dave's case, or Dave's example, not his case, I think. let's just remember, though, that resolutions on one day are probably not worth very much. What we have in the example of our Lord is a resolute character. And in that character, he made commitments to us. I will, I will, I will. Our commitments to him ought to be reflected day by day in our resolute characters, that we will, I will. We will not do some things, but we will serve him wholeheartedly. Let's close in prayer. Father, as it is today, help us today and each day to encourage one another in our faith, that together we may bring you glory, that we may understand you more, and that we may be better prepared for your coming to bring us to be with yourself for all eternity. Help us to grasp these things, appreciate them, worship you, and serve you together. We pray these things in the power of Jesus' name and by your Spirit. Amen.